How many parashiyos are we going to lay in this Shabbos? So this is a very, very complicated topic, and I refer you to a wonderful shiur by Rav Herschel Schachter, one of the biggest Talmidei Chacham of our generation, who knows literally everything. And Rav Meir Appeldorf, are you here, Rav Meir? You're very quiet. Actually, he's here. Rav Meir, he sent me a link to the shiur that he gave very recently discussing this topic in very great detail. I confess that I did not listen to the entire thing. I was distracted in the middle, but I gained enough information that I just want to throw out, and you know, we should be aware of some of the issues. And of course, every single shul has a rabbi, and every rabbi makes the decision. And it's his decision to make what will be done this Shabbos. And the basic yesodos are as follows. There is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that talks about a situation where a person misses Kriyas HaTorah. Does he have an obligation? Well, let's say you have a shul that misses Kriyas HaTorah. Is there an obligation for them to make up the laning from the previous week? And it comes from an Or Zerua, okay, one of the Rishonim, and the story where it's presented is extremely unique and almost totally irrelevant to our situation, but at least it's a starting point. And the situation presented there, of Herschel Schachter explained, is where there was a shul, there was a ma'isa shahaya. This is really where it all starts. This shaylitz question. There was a shul. Everyone came together to daven, and they daven shachris. They daven pesuk zimra shra achazor sashatz, and then a fight broke out. Okay, there was a fight, and there was screaming and shouting. And before you turn around, things got out of hand, and everyone just left. They never made it to Lain. They daven shachris. It seems like they did not daven musaf either, Bitzibor, but the fighting was so intense, they just never made it to Kriyas HaTorah. So the question was, what do they do next week when everyone, they kissed and made up? Okay, you can't kiss today. But they made up, and they came back to shul. Everyone made up. They came back to shul. So what do? So the Psak Halacha was as follows. Yes, you are mechuyev to lain on the second week, last week's kriya, and this week. What's the makar? The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, cites the makar, which is very critical to appreciate the makar. Everything I'm telling you now is on the tape. I'm telling you word for word, just a fraction of the tape. The tape goes on and on for 50 minutes. It's a very long, so I'm just telling you the first few minutes. It's fascinating. It's really fascinating. All the different elements in this sugya. And the makar that the Vilna Gaon cites is laning is no different than tashlumin. Now let's study that principle. The person misses shachris, chas v'sholem. What do you do? Why do you miss shachris? You have to be called an oinis. It has to be an accident that was beyond your control. If a person wakes up late, there's a very big dilemma in halacha if that's called an accident. Very big dilemma if that's called an accident. You wake up so late, you wake up, it's already 2:00. The big machlokes of a person can then is entitled to do tashlumin, to the daven mincha twice. But let's say a person is in a situation where he wakes up in the morning, he wakes up 6:00 in the morning to go to shul, and all of a sudden he gets a message, an emergency, a real emergency. And that's it. Let's say he's atzalah. Okay, he's an atzalah member. And he goes on a very, very difficult call that takes up the entire morning, and he comes back home, it's 2:00. He gave away his whole day for this emergency, it's 2:00. What does he do now? He was an oinus. It was beyond his control. There's a halacha that is now triggered, that he should daven mincha twice. It's called tashlumin. How do you daven mincha twice? You daven mincha, and then you go back and you daven a second, Shemoyne Esrei, and the second Shmoyne Esrei will be in place of Shacharis. That's called Tashlumin. Okay, you miss, you're an accident. You missed Shacharis. When you miss Shacharis, you daven Mincha twice. You're not really daven Mincha twice. You're davening first, you daven Mincha, and then you daven another Shmoyne Esrei to make up for the Shmoyne Esrei that you've missed. What happens if, let's say, for example, you miss Mincha, you were in Oines, and now it's Friday night, it's Shabbos Kodesh. So the Shmoyne Esrei, if you're going to daven a double Shmoyne Esrei for Friday night, that's not going to make up for Mincha, because Mincha was a Shmoyne Esrei of Chol, and Friday night is a Shmoyne Esrei of Kodesh. So how do you do, what do you do? No, it's okay. That's what Tashlumin is. Tashlumin is you missed a tefillah, even though that tefillah was a certain type of tefillah. It was a Shmoneh Esrei of Chol that has 19 blessings, and now it's Friday night. So first you daven Ma'ariv, and you daven Shmoneh Esrei, the Shmoneh Esrei of Atah Kidash that has 7 blessings, and then you daven a second Shmoyne Esrei of Friday evening of 7 blessings, and that will be Tashlumin for the Mincha of 19 blessings which you have missed. If a person misses, the Gra says, this is the Makar, the source of why we are permitted to make up a Kriya, a laning that we've missed. If we missed last week, so this week we can make up because it's no less, Kriyas HaTorah is no less than missing a Shmoyne Esrei. Just like when we miss a Shmoyne Esrei, there's a principle called Tashlumin. Likewise, there is a principle called Tashlumin when we miss a Parsha. Now, with that being said, if we take this, what the Gra says, literally, there are a lot of fascinating things. If you want to take this principle to an extreme, let me explain to you what the result will be. Let's play over here some games. What I'm telling you now is not lahalacha, according to nobody. But this is what the Gra says. The Gra says that the din of making up a missing parasha is derived from the principle of Tashlumin. So you know we should watch what I'm going to say now. I'm going to go to off the deep end extreme. Last week, most people I assume here did not hear the two parshiyos of Bahar Bichul Kosai. And this week, I don't know if you're going. I'm not telling you you should go. It might not be a good idea to go. Just because people are going to shul doesn't mean everyone should go. Okay? If you think that they're going to observe social distancing rules, maybe you need to take a course in human nature. If you really think that everyone will adhere to the rules and the regulations that are written up in these documents, sorry, buddy, that's not the way the world works. I actually asked someone from the OU. I asked someone in the OU when the OU put out the guide about a week ago. They put out the guide that eventually the shuls will open up, and here are going to be the guidelines. So I said to him, I read the rules, and I said, I get dizzy just looking at this. Look. This is ridiculous. Well, it's all just common sense. Just use seichel. So he says to me, you're right. The only reason why the OU wrote this up is they shouldn't get sued. It's just for legal considerations. The whole thing is be'etzem, it's a joke. It's impossible. For liability purposes, so they have no choice but to cross, you know, to dot the I's and cross the T's, but in a chinami, it's not a realistic approach to what's going to really happen in shul. So I warn you, be very careful. If you do choose to go to shul, be very, very careful. But But what would be the result if we take this halacha to the extreme? So you know what that would mean? It would mean like this. We come to shul and we lay in 7 aliyos in Parshas Bamidbar. And then, after we lay in the 7 aliyos and davening is over, we take out the Sefer Torah a second time and we lay in 7 aliyos in Parshas Bamidbar. Isn't that what you do with the Shemona Esrei? If you miss Shemona Esrei Mincha, and now it's Friday night, what do you do? How do you do Tashlumin? You daven Ma'ariv, and you daven the Shemona Esrei of Friday night. You say Vayechulu, and then you say Mogen Avos, and then you say Kaddish Shalem, and you say Aleinu, and you say Yigdal, and you make the announcements. And then you open up the Siddur, back to the Shemona Esrei of Ata Kidashta, and you say the Shemona Esrei a second time. That's the makar for making up for a lost parasha. So what we should do this Shabbos is, you come to Shul, you daven Shachris, you lay in 7 aliyos, you have Daf Torah, and then you daven Musaf, and then you say Anam Zmirais, and Yigdal, Adon Olam, and you make the announcements, and then Vayihi bin Soya Ha'aroin, you take out the Sefer Torah again, and you lay in Parshas Bamidbar a second time. Right? You don't lay in Parshas Bahar Bichu Koisai or Parshas Bichu Koisai. If the din of making up a missing parsha is derived from tashlumin for tefillah, so what does that mean? You're supposed to lain. There's a mitzvah to do kriyas haTorah, zayin keruyim. We missed out last week, so we're going to make it up. So how do you make it up? I can't lay parashas Parah B'chol Kosai. It's not Parah B'chol Kosai, Rabbi Yisai. This week is parashas Bamidbar. Don't live in the past. Ma'ashahoya k'varhoya. What's the parasha this week? It's parashas Bamidbar. What, you're upset that you did not mikayim the mitzvah of kriyas haTorah? It doesn't matter what you're laying. You missed kriyas haTorah last week. Chaval. I have a stain on my chart. When I call, you come to Shemayim Achamei V'Esrim, they take out the chart, like a doctor, and they look at the chart. What was checked off, what's not checked off? This guy is missing Kriyas HaTorah and Parashas Bahar B'chol Kosai. He's missing. Oh, Tashlumin. They lain Bamidbar twice. Just like you lay in the Shemona Esrei of Friday night twice, you don't go back and lay in the Shemona Esrei of Erev Shabbos. That's not what you do, because you can't lay now Friday night the Shemona Esrei of Erev Shabbos. You can't do that. It's not the right zman, because now it's Shabbos. So if we're going to do Tashlumin, the tafkid of the Tashlumin is to make up the missing mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. Not the words of the Torah, the parasha. We got it all wrong. You ask the average person, oh, you're gonna lay in all the parashas? What are they all worked up about? It has to be that when it comes Simchas Torah, I heard someone read from the Torah every single word in the Torah. A machbid on every single word. Oh, you saw machbid. So how come when it was Parshas Bereish and Parshas Noach, you went to the bathroom for most of the parashos, and then when you went also to the Kiddush Club, you got a head start on the Kiddush Club, so you missed the last 2 aliyahs of the parasha. And all of a sudden now, you're so worried that you missed out on Chumash Vayikra. Because what are you so worried about? I missed a few words. I didn't hear every single word in the Torah. Yeah, you didn't hear everyone. So how come you were talking during davening? Go back to I remember Parshas Vayetze. You were schmoozing away the whole Parshas Vayetze. You couldn't stop talking. You didn't hear one word the Baal Kriya said. And now you saw Machbid that comes Parshas Bamidbar. You got to go lane all the way back from Yaakov Bukudei. What is this, a joke? So this fellow said, no. You'll say to me, no. I'm not interested in hearing what it says in the Torah. I'm way ahead of you. You're right. I'm going to talk this week also. You're going to learn whatever you're going to learn the Shabbos. I'm going to talk. I'm going to yap away. What I'm upset about is when you go to shul, a mitzvah is fulfilled. There's a mitzvah that's done by the tzibur called Kriyas HaTorah. I don't have to listen to every word. I'm allowed to go to the bathroom. I'm allowed to go start the Kiddush Club a little bit earlier. I go to shul. I participate in the service, and the service does many things. One of the functions the service does is a mitzvah called Kriyas HaTorah. I'm not so makbid every word of Kriya, but the mitzvah, the big picture. I missed out on that mitzvah last week. I want to go this week and have an opportunity that there should be a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, and I can fall asleep for one aliyah, go to the bathroom for another aliyah, speak Lashon Hara during the third aliyah, and for the last two aliyahs, get a head start in the Kiddush Club. That's how I'm mekayim Kriyas HaTorah. That's the way I'm mekayim Kriyas HaTorah, and I missed out on that. So I want to do it. Oh, so the Gra says, do it. Come to shul, tashlumin, davin, the whole davening, when davening is over, take out the Sefer Torah, and lein nochamol, parshas Bamidbar. And the lein, the repetition of leining parshas Bamidbar, will be able to give you credit for the missing mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah that was absent last week. Now, that makes a lot of sense. No, this makes a lot of sense. Now, what would be a nafkamina? First of all, a nafkamina would be, we should have Zayin Kiruyim, another seven aliyos. Number two, anyway, I said number one was we're going to learn by Midbar. Number two, we're not Zayin, seven aliyos. Number three, we're not going to go back and make up for all the missing weeks. If a person misses Shachris and Mincha, can he make up both Shachris and Mincha by davening two Shmoyne Esrei for Ma'ariv? No such thing. When it comes to Tashlumin, you only can make up one, the most recent omission. So that would mean that we only should go back and make up. We're going to lay another seven aliyos of Bamidbar to make up last week, the last most recent Kriya. But nothing more than that. And like we said, you can't go back and lay Baharvich or Kaisai because that's already old news. It's like the Shemona Esrei. This would be the logical conclusion of deriving the ability to make up laning from the din of Tashlumin. That's what would result. To lane Bamidbar twice with seven aliyos in the Sefer Torah separately after you finish laning once. You lane Bamidbar, put away the Sefer Torah, you daven Musaf, you take out the Sefer Torah, and you lane Nochamol Parshas Bamidbar. That's what would be the logical conclusion to do if you learned it as Din of Tashlumin. Now, I guarantee you, no one does this. I can guarantee you that. But it's what the Gra says. It's what the Gra says. And Rav Herschel Shacht actually says that the Gra himself didn't do this. There was a Maisa Shehoya where the Gra was in jail. Okay, a famous story. He was in jail. Someone was malshin on him, and they locked him up. And when he got out of jail, the Shabbos, after coming out of prison, they lained for him all of the parshiyos that he was missing. So the Gra himself, who cites the source of being able to do this, is Tashlumin, himself did not follow his own advice, his own halacha. So obviously, when the Gra wrote at the Din of Tashlumin, he does not mean it to be 100% literal. It's a borrowed principle, but operates with very different rules. Now the question is, okay, it's not exact, but it's still there. You can't take away the fact that it lingers. It lingers. Tashlumin. The basic rule of Tashlumin is you first daven the regular Shemona Esrei and then you make up what you're missing. So if we want to preserve the theme of Tashlumin, well, first of all, many people can say this, you can't go back more than one Shabbos. You can't go back more than last week. You can't do that because Tashlumin only allows you to go back to the previous tefillah, not back to tefillahs. But you know what would result? What do you lane first? If we're going to go back and make up 1 week and we're going to lane what we missed, if you want to preserve the theme of Tashlumin, the result should be we should lane this week first Bamidbar, and after we finish laning Bamidbar, we'll go back and lane Parshas Behar Bichukosai. That is, isn't that what Tashlumin is? Tashlumin is you first do what is current, and then don't you know, you have to keep your eye on the ball. This week is Bamidbar. Don't make up new rules. Don't make up new parashios. Don't make up new parashios. First Bamidbar, and then you go back and you lane Behar Bichukosai. Do you give aliyos? Are you gonna give 7 more aliyos? What are you gonna do? That's not so simple. To go give seven more aliyos in that. On Shabbos, you're only supposed to have Zayin Keruim. Are you allowed to have a Sofas? Okay, so let's touch upon two points which are very problematic. First of all, I went off on a tangent, but let's go back to the original point. The original story where all of this came from, where the Gra responded that it's a din of Tashlumin, came from the Maisa where there was a fight in Shul. People in Shul, they came together to daven Shachris. When you daven Shachris, there's a very big dilemma. Is Kriyas HaTorah a chelek of Shachris, or is Kriyas HaTorah an independent mitzvah? The nafka mina is, can you make kiddush before you lane from the Torah? You're not allowed to eat le'soichlu al hadam. You're not allowed to eat before you finish davening Shachris. If Kriyas HaTorah is a chelek of Shachris, the result would be that the obligation to recite Kiddush does not begin until after Kriyas HaTorah. Gets very touchy. When exactly are you obligated to make Kiddush? When exactly can you eat, not eat? If you finish Shmoyne Esrei and you did not yet make Kiddush, can the Baal Kriya, he wants to take a drink before he lanes. So can he now, take a drink? Does he have an obligation to make Kiddush? The obligation to make Kiddush first begins after you finish Shacharis. Well, we did not lane yet. If you did not lane yet, you did not yet finish Shacharis. There is no obligation to make Kiddush. You can take a drink without making Kiddush, or maybe not. Maybe the obligation begins, the Shacharis ends with Shemona Esrei, and Kriyas HaTorah is something that's called independent. Be that as it may, point is, once these people came to Shul, and they were together, and they finished davening the Shemona Esrei of Shacharis, it devolved upon them the obligation to lane from the Torah. They have an obligation to do the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. A war broke out, and they fought, they left, and they did not fulfill their obligation. But what happens if the people never came to Shul to begin with? They never stepped into shul. The shul was locked for whatever reason. The government put a padlock. The shul was contaminated. Like we have today. Today, there's no minyanim. The tzibur is not coming together. If the tzibur is not coming together, there never was an obligation to lane. So if there never was an obligation to lane, then there's no requirement to make it up. You only can make up something that you were required to do. You are required, every individual is required to daven 3 times a day. If you miss a tefillah, you have to make it up. Tashlumin. There is no obligation for an individual to learn the Parshas HaShavua. It's Shnayim Mikvech HaTargum. But as far as Kriyas HaTorah, it is not an obligation on the individual. It is an obligation on the Tzibur. On the Tzibur. And if the Tzibur is not obligated, why are they not? Because they never came together. The obligation only is triggered, according to most of the Paiskim, is when they come together. Here we are. We're together. And guess what? We don't have a Sefer Torah. Or there's a fight. Everyone has to leave the shul immediately. So we're here. We have an obligation. And our obligation has not been fulfilled. Next week, we're going to trigger the laws of Tashlumin. But Rabbi Sai, for the last 2 months, there was no obligation to lain. Because they were all of the Rabbanim canceled the Minyanim. The Tzibur never came together. If the Tzibur never came together, there was no trigger to invoke the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore, if there was no obligation, then there's no such thing as Tashlumin. And anything that you're going to do during the service, the Shabbos, that will go back and restore, make up what was lost last week, is corrupt. It has no place because there's no obligation. So if there's no obligation, there's no din of tashlumin. So what are you doing? You're learning extra psukim. You're giving out more aliyos. This is not Judaism. There's a rule. There's a seder. This week we learn by Midbar. There are 7 aliyos. If you want to make hoysophos, you make hoysophos in Bamidbar. You don't make hoysophos in another parasha. There are rules. You don't just do whatever you want. So there's no obligation. There's no tashlumin. So what are you doing? Okay, that's one major issue. Then there's another issue, and that is when you we Rav Hershachti discussed at very very great length this point. This is a very difficult point, and that is, by some of the things I told you, he didn't say some of the things at the beginning. I don't want to. If I said crazy things, it's because I'm crazy. The Chas V'Shalom, he said he's Taras Emes. So I said, I think elaborate a little bit on some of the things I said before that he didn't actually say. But let's go to this next point. In this next point, we have, on a regular Shabbos, we lay in 7, there are 7 keruim. 7 people are called to the Torah. And that's a precise number. Because during the weekday, there are 3 people. On Rosh Chodesh, there are 4. On Yom Tov, there are 5. Yom Kippur, there are 6. Shabbos, there are 7. There are some Paiskim that are very makbid not to add to the number. 7, only 7. We do. We are very makel. We have Oisophis. And Simchas Torah, we have many Oisophis. What happens when you have a double header? Last week, Bahar B'chukaisai. Or you have Tazria Mitzoyer. Or you have Matas Masei. So we don't appreciate this, but there are many Paiskim who say, when you have a double header, you are not allowed to have Hoysophis. Not because of Tircho de Tzibura, it's because you are being Mevaze one Parsha. If you give in one Parsha 10 Aliyos, and in another Parsha 3 Aliyos, you have Matas Masei. So the first Matas, you're just going to lay in, let's say you do, it's 3.5. Like, supposed to be 3.5, 3.8, right? 3.5 in my Matas. And now you come to Masei. Oh, we got a Simcha. This Simcha, that Simcha, this Yartza, that Yartza. Oh, you know what? So we'll give away now 10 Aliyos. That means you're going to come home, people are going to say, Matas. There were 3 people called to read from Parshas Matas. Masei. 10 people. Wow, it must be that Parshas Masei is a favorite child. It got the Kesoines HaPasim. That's a bezoyin. It's a bezoyin to give one Parsha more aliyos than another Parsha. When you're learning one Parsha and you want to give in the Parsha 50 aliyos, go right ahead. Who's stopping you? The Wokom. Parshas Bamidbar, there were 50 aliyahs. But if you have two parshiyos and you go give one parsha 3 and one parsha 10, so there are, not everyone agrees to this principle, but Rav Herschel Schachter cited sources that say that this, that we are very generous and we give a hoisafis, even though the Gemara says only should be Zayin Kurim, that's only in a regular parsha, but when it's a double header, then you should not be so generous. You're looking for trouble. You're looking for trouble by giving one parsha more aliyos than another parsha, do not do it. So if we're going to go do this week, we're going to take out a sefer time, we're going to lane, let's say, let's make it simple, just going to lane parashas Bahar B'chokai Sayin Bamidbar. How are you going to divide up the reading? You're going to go give 3.5 in, oh, you have to go divide, it gets calculated, you have 3 parashas. Like last week was Matos, Masei, Bahar B'chokai Sayin. And now we have Bamidbar. How are you going to divide up 3 parashas? Everyone should get an equal portion. And wait a minute. This week is Parashas Bamidbar. Bamidbar deserves the 7 aliyos. You can't take or deny Bamidbar the 7 aliyos. It's not nice. So what are you going to do? You're going to lane, you'll make one long aliyah. You'll start with Bahar and go straight from Bahar all the way until the first aliyah in Bamidbar. That means you gave Bamidbar 1, Bahar B'chokai Sai 1, and giving now Bamidbar 6, or 7 even, because you're laning. Again, you're coming away with the same problem. How, you're caught, it's a catch 22. If you're going to divide up, and you're going to go give 3 aliyahs to Bamidbar, or 2 aliyahs, so you're going to divide up 2, 4, 6, and you're going to toss a coin for who gets the 7th aliyah, that's not correct. Bamidbar will complain and say, excuse me, it's my parasha this week. I get 7 aliyos. What are you doing to me? You're taking away from me my 7 aliyos in my parasha? So you're going to go there, okay, we're not going to take away from you. So we'll lay in the entire Bahar, B'chukaisa, in one shot, all the way until the first aliyah Bamidbar. Excuse me, you've insulted Bahar, B'chukaisa. You've only given them 1 aliyah, and you gave Bamidbar 7 aliyos. Whatever you do is no good. And if you go, and if, like I mentioned to you before, why are you letting Bahar B'chokai Sai first? You should be letting Bamidbar first. For Tashlumin, first Bamidbar, and then we'll go backwards. Going backwards? Since when do you ever go backwards? Who says you're even allowed to go backwards when you're learning from the Torah? Are you allowed to go backwards? The whole Shiloh, if you're even allowed to go backwards. When it comes to Haftarah, you're not allowed to go backwards. You're allowed to go backwards when you learn from the Torah. What do you do? I have a solution. So we'll lane Parashas Bamidbar. And when davening is over, or before davening even starts, before Shacharis, we'll take out the Sefer Torah and we'll lane back from Kisisa. Kisisa, Vayakal Pekude, Vayikra, Tzav, Shminu, go all the way. The whole, no Aliyos, we'll just read from the Torah. You allowed to do that? You're not allowed to do that. Rapan was very makbid on this. To take out a Sefer Torah and to lane from a Sefer Torah Bitsibur, in order to be Yoytze, you are required to make a bracha. You just can't do it with that. But you can't make a bracha, because Chazal will not masakin to make a bracha outside the framework of davening. So what are you going to do? So basically, I'm trying to show you is, no matter what you do, it's no good. There really is no solution. There is no solution. And also we get to another problem, which many parties they mention, is you can't cross the Atlantic on Shabbos. In other words, once we've passed over from one chumash to another, we've crossed over between the end of Ayikra to Bamidbar, there's no Tashlumen. That already is outside. Tashlumen is when there is a flow. There is a continuous flow. The separation of one, we don't appreciate this. We think it's all big, it's all the same. It's not the same. Bamidbar is not Vayikra. It's a different world.
Poma must have known all this. That's why he did it first this Shabbos. Now you know the reason.
What? Say it again.
Governor Cuomo knew this. That's why he first did it now. He didn't do it last week.
The Prat, and also, what if you want to do Tashlum, and so, but what about Bahar Bichl Kai said? Those are two parashios. So you could do Tashlum for one parasha, not for two parashas. So it's going to be three parashios. So should we just do then Parashas Bichl Kai say? There are so many questions. There are so many difficulties in this matter. In addition, I want to add a little bit to the mix is that this Shabbos for the shuls that will be coming back together, it will be a very difficult Shabbos in many, many ways. For some people who are very serious and take life very seriously, it will be very sad because there are people who are not coming back. Okay, all right, Reisman, I don't know if you saw, we have over here in our shir, Mr. Skolnick has a son-in-law who passed away. His name, if someone can remind me his name, I forgot his name. If someone can remind me. Mr. Weiss,
Nachum
Cooper, Rabbi Nachum Cooper. Rabbi Nachum Cooper was an awesome Talmud Chacham. He gave a Daf Yomi Shir in a Reisman Shul every night. He was an awesome Talmud Chacham. He had many children. He had, how many? I forgot. He had what, 14 children. Is that correct?
15, I think.
15 children. 15 children. Reisman, he gave this very, very powerful. He made an appeal. He made an appeal to raise money for the family. And he said he went to the shul. The shul was empty. He stood before the Urna Kodesh. And he said, the day is going to come when we will return. And in Yiritz Hashem, this Shabbos is that day. Is that day. I think every shul and flappers is open. Maybe I'm wrong. I think every shul and flappers is open for Shabbos. I don't know what happened. I'm shocked. Can't believe. Well, out of nowhere. And Rabbi Reisman said, but you know, when we come back, he's not coming back. He's not coming back. And there are a lot of people that are not coming back.
It's a bittersweet Shabbos.
A lot of people are not coming back. Ever. And it's a very, for some serious people, it'll be a very emotional Shabbos. And then there is a different category of people who are blessed that they don't know from this. They're young people. They don't know from this whole world. And it's just going to be a big social event and a big party. Okay, go mikotze el hakotze. There are people like that. And it's going to be bizarre. Social distancing, follow the rules, don't follow the rules, mask, no mask, glove, who gets the aliyos? The Baal Kriya gets all the aliyos. You give this guy, they ask. Believe me, I guarantee you, I'm willing to bet, I can't prove this, there will not be one shul in the entire Flatbush that will observe the laws the way they are written on the piece of paper. Some will adhere to the rules better. Some will be very good. Some will be in total violation. But I can guarantee you not one shul will follow the rules 100%. Because it's going to be a very bizarre situation. It's going to be very bizarre. It's going to be very distracting. And here are the words of Rav Chudner. Toiv me'at sheloi bikavon. Meharbe sheloi bikavon. Parshas Bamidbar is a very big parsha. It's a very long parsha. It will be difficult enough to concentrate and behave and not be distracted. Oh, I haven't seen you in 8 weeks. I haven't seen you. How have you been? How's your wife? Oh, I heard you were sick. It will be hard enough not to be distracted for Parshas Bamidbar. Are you kidding? You want a lane from Parshas Kisisa, the whole Chumash Vayikra, and maintain your sanity after what we've been through? Toiv me'at sheloi bikavana, meharbe sheloi bikavana. So in addition to all of these halachic challenges, these technical halachic challenges that really shake up this whole principle First of all, we're not even really chayiv to lane because there was no minyanim, period. So why would you want a lane? You have a chavivos, the words of Torah. I don't really see people with such a chavivos. I'm sorry to tell you, I don't really see that. There's such a degree of chavivos. Okay, you want to have the chavivos, but the halachic challenges of how to do it are really off the charts, way off the charts. And when you also add the practical matter of people will be this Shabbos extremely distracted for many reasons. Mikotze elakotze. Some will be crying. And some kids will just be a big Super Bowl party, unfortunately. Because whatever, that's what it is. It's hard enough to focus on what's important, what we have by Midbar. At least let's have kavana to be mechabed parshas Bamidbar before we try to conquer the whole world and go back to parshas Kisisa. So these are the issues. You see, I would hope if I was in a shul and they would ask me what to do, I would say, don't ask. Let's just really, I'm not joking. Sometimes it's not good to ask. Sometimes it's not good to ask a shayla. It's not good. One thing is for sure. We're not mechuyev to. That of Herschel Schachter appears to make it very clear. Me'ikar hadin. There was absolutely no chiyuv to lane anything more than Bamidbar. Why would you want to lane? The chavivos. It's extremely challenging in halacha to find a solution that does not cause harm in halacha, in technical halachic guidelines, where you're not causing more damage than benefit. As we've gone through the whole sugya, we've touched upon many of the different issues. And when
Can I make a suggestion? I would say that people our age, and excluding yourself, should think twice before they even go to
shul. I said that at the very beginning. I said that many, many times. I said that many times. Rabbi Isai, even though it says in Shulchan Aruch, there are milus, remember, there are milus of being from the Asara Rishonim.
Right.
Today, the Shabbos,
I'd like to
there
just
is.
Add something. There are two different halachas.
Okay, that's different.
You have to do.
Of course.
You have to make up if you miss.
Of course, of course.
Not kriyas haTorah on Shabbos because it's vayetzu shloshes yomim bamidbar v'lo matzumahim. The halacha is to hear laning, to hear from the Torah every 3 days, which we yoytu with laning.
Exactly.
Not Rav Yechiel Targum is a separate halacha. And the raya is from Rav Moshe when he was sick the last 3 months of his life and couldn't go to shul. When he asked the person to, he was laying in a hospital bed and he wanted to be Mekayim Shnayim Mikra V'yecha Targum, and it was Parshas Truma, and he told the Bacha to start Shemos, and he said, excuse me, Rabbi, we're up to Parshas Truma. He said, I know, but I'm up to Shemos.
But that was for Shnayim Mikra V'yecha Targum. That's
right,
not for Kriyas, right.
That's my point. So Shnayim Mikra V'yecha Targum is a different halacha than Shabbos Kriya.
Exactly. Okay, but there's also
everybody should have done Shnayim Mikra V'yecha Targum
right,
anyway.
That's
right.
It.
But there's also an inyan. There's also an inyan.
I'd like to add something.
Yeah.
That I heard of a shul that reopened last Shabbos, where they laned the entire Sefer VaYikra.
Who told them to do that?
And the Rav had all the aliyahs.
The rabbi himself. Okay, I would very much like to hear from the rabbi, the lumdis, after going through the sugya, what was his halachic basis to do that?
What he gained from it.
There's a lot of collateral damage. There's a lot of collateral damage in the world of halacha in doing such a thing. As we've gone through, we have 45 minutes on this already. On this. Now, what I want to make clear, you have a rabbi. Every rabbi I'm just, we just discussed the issues. Obviously, in the world of halacha, you machria, you make a decision. No, that's the way it goes. So every rabbi, whatever rabbi says, that's what you do. Whatever the rabbi says, you do. Shalom al Yisrael. But I'm just telling you personally, if I was in a shul, I wouldn't even ask the shayla. Because one thing I do know from Rav Herschel Schachter, he made it very clear, there is no obligation to do anything. Now, there is an inyan of chavivus ha-mitzvah. The Vilna Goyen wanted to hear every parsha that he missed when he was in prison, laying from a Sefer Torah. He wasn't satisfied with Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum. There's chavivus ha-mitzvah. And there are many people in Klal Yisrael today that are on that level, beyond the question of a doubt. Real, true B'nai Torah. I just know myself and the types of shuls that I daven on Shabbos. I don't feel for my personal self and from where I daven on Shabbos is that it's worth it. It's worth it. I would rather leave it on the Ikar Hadin. The Ikar Hadin is you have no obligation. It's a challenging Shabbos because of the distraction of seeing people you haven't seen in 2.5 months. And the emotion of what has happened over this period of time. And when you, and besides the fact that it's clear as day from listening to the Rav Herschel Schachter Shir, is that the halachic issues are monumental in whatever you're going to do, any way you're going to do it. I give you probably like 5 different ways you can do it. Anything you're going to do is challenging halacha. So who's asking you? What? Toiv me'at sheloi bikavana meharbe bikavana. Let's go to shul and lay daven good and lay well and pay attention and be mekabel a new beginning. It should be with bracha and with your shemayim, a new start. V'zehu. You're going to hear stories.
Younger people, Rabbi, even younger people who go to shul this Shabbos and they're going to engage in conversations, they're putting themselves at risk. It's in an enclosed place.
I know that. We all know that. Okay, I told you, I'm not the one who opened up the shuls. I told you, I have nothing to do with this. I'm not the governor here. We all know that. I told you, I don't know what in the world happened in the last 24 hours. I have no clue. No clue. 24 hours ago, the plan was, as far as I know, there's no shul that's going to open up indoors. Who knows until when? Who knows? Shavuos, maybe outdoors. This, all of a sudden, last night, a kol yotza. Young Israel of Midwood is opening for Shabbos. Look, they said the table's here. Everything's ready to go here. They have over here all the tablecloths on. The place is spick and span. And I know this shul is opening up, and I got emails. This shul, this morning, I met someone coming. Where are you coming from? I'm coming from shul, this shul. I'm not telling you where I davened this morning. But all I can tell you is, I don't know what in the world is going on. But this now, and I'm not telling you it's good. And I told you. Uh-oh. Rabbis, do you still hear me? Sorry about that. There's a
Good morning, everyone. Has everyone seen
conspiracy? Conspiracy? Yes. Someone pulled the plug on me.
Barrage's detailed report on risks of reentry. It was attached to a letter earlier this week from the Vasikan in a Flatbush, where they unfortunately were telling the island that they do not think they are going to have a venue for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, but they did have an attachment. It's kedai to read. It's kedai to read this report from this Dr. Bermage, who details the minute issues that Rabbi Nyman mentioned before. But he talks about everything from a point of the risk of infection is a function of intensity and time. He breaks it down to the number of breaths you can take that could cause infection, speech, singing, and it's a function of where you are in the enclosure. Very, very interesting article.
Right, they said to minimize singing and all that.
Correct.
Okay, boys, let's finish up.
As Rabbi Levine said earlier, you're working under the assumption that there's a nemanus, that people are really healthy to go to shul. There's no discussion about taking your temperature. There's no guard at the door taking your temperature. There's no guard at the door to make sure you have gloves on or you have a mask on. So, Rabbi Nyman, I agree with you 101% that for those Hamevin Yavin, those of us who are in that higher risk environment, have to really, really think about.
Be very careful.
And I second the motion.
And the younger crowd, who unfortunately think they have this incredible invulnerability, unfortunately, they were part of the machla too. So
absolutely.
Where's the study?
I just spoke to my youngest son. He says I'm not going to shul shalom.
I think if you Google Dr. Bermage,
I think
he has a Bromage. If you send me an email, I'll be happy to forward his name is Dr. Bromage, joined the facility faculty of University of Massachusetts.
Why don't you put it on the Kyle WhatsApp, and then everybody will get it.
Okay, Lina.
Okay, everybody, we have a few minutes left. I want to talk about another topic, a short topic, which is something a little bit different. We'll have to be